In Luke 22, Satan enters Judas, and he sneaks off then to betray our Lord Jesus. Shortly after, Judas will take his own life. Now later in that same chapter, Jesus says to Simon Peter in verses 31 and 32, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Hi, I'm Pastor Joel of Heart City Church, and we're looking at what the Bible teaches us about our enemy, Satan, so that we can be on our guard against him and his tricks. And Satan is a powerful enemy, prowling like a lion, seeking to devour us, 1 Peter 5:8. Put yourself in the sandals of Simon Peter when Jesus told him Satan had demanded permission to sift him like wheat. This is quite the graphic picture of pain. A piece of grain in a sieve, where the head of grain is literally being taken apart. Ever felt like you've been picked to pieces, being slowly taken apart? Satan's goal is to pick away at us, to ruin us. He lives to misdirect us, to keep our eyes fixed on this world, to accuse us of our guilt. He has a host of evil minions who have no code of honor in trying to take us down. And that is why you and I need to know where the battle is being waged. See, knowing the battlefield you're on is very important because it changes everything about how you prepare to engage. You have to have the right battle gear to be strong, to stand firm, to endure. If you're fighting in the desert, you're going to have different gear on than if you're fighting in the swamp or if you're in Siberia, right? Well, Paul told us yesterday in Ephesians 6:12 that our battle is taking place in the heavenly realms. Joel, what kind of equipment do you need for a battle in the heavenly realms? You need the whole armor of God, my friend. Verse 13, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." You need the whole armor, friend, all of it. It's important you wear every piece before you go out. I mean, think about what would happen if you got up and you went to work or school or church, but you forgot to wear your pants. Wouldn't that be humiliating? If we wouldn't go out pantless to avoid shame, how much more do we need to put on all the armor of God when going out to battle? You don't put on shoes, the belt, the breastplate, grab the shield and sword, but you leave your helmet at home because you want the wind to blow through your hair. Where do you think the enemy is going to aim his darts? Paul says it's all necessary, every piece to withstand in the evil day. And this is the only time Paul uses this term. Paul had talked about evil days earlier, but this is more specific. Paul is speaking about there are critical times when enemy attacks are at their worst. You may already know what I'm talking about, because you've had a few of those times. That day when temptation was greater than ever. Joseph had that day when Potiphar's wife tried to sleep with him. But Joseph had all his armor on, and he stood firm. David had that day of temptation too. And the author notes it was a time when the kings went out to battle. But not David. He wasn't wearing all his armor. And it wrecked him and many, many others. So let me offer a few thoughts on how we can be ready for the evil day, and we'll get into the armor next week. First, bank on it coming, my friend. Anticipate it's going to happen because of the present darkness we live in. Get on your knees in the morning and pray for God's help, for his strength, that you might be strong and stand firm if today happens to be the evil day. Second, get up anticipating the attack and don't plan on wrestling anybody but the enemy. You see, Satan is delighted. One of his tricks is to stir us up to fight with each other, just like he did with Judas in planting bad seeds in his heart before taking him over. Third, remember that Jesus is praying for you. Jesus ever lives to intercede for his people. And that means you will be protected and also in position to strengthen others who are in battle. And lastly, consider the great privilege you have to be enlisted in this war. Have you ever wanted to do something meaningful with your life? Well, you've been equipped to march into enemy-occupied territories, to set the captives free. And doesn't that just amaze you? Jesus won the victory at the cross, and he could have simply dispatched of Satan and all his entire demonic horde with a flick of his pinky finger. All gone. Just like that. But instead, he chose to take weak people like you and myself, folks who would never stand a chance on our own, and Jesus fills us with his Holy Spirit, gives us his combat plans, and equips us with his own armor so that we could march out confidently as the most powerful people on the planet, going to war with all his enemies, bringing in his kingdom. Joel, why did he do this? Joel, why do we get to join in the great rescue mission and the crushing of Satan's head? My friend, all I can tell you is somehow Jesus gets more glory when you share in the joy of this victory, in the joy of his victory. Meditate on that and remember who you are and who you belong to.